Good morning. There we go. It's me. Yeah. Thank you, Scott. Good morning. Good to hear all the connecting and the pause moment's a good space, hey? It works out well. Carl's like, yeah, man. And the coffee's, no, is that water? It's probably water. Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. No comment. Good morning. There's a familiar song that we're going to play at the end of this that comes to mind when I think of peace during Advent. Here are a few of the words. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then this next phrase caught my attention this week. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. When we speak about peace, we realize that we also speak about the lack of peace or violence and conflict that we see in the news, that we experience maybe in our communities, maybe even in our families. And that phrase, and in despair I bowed my head, and there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But we're not left there. We're not left there. And we're going to hear the rest of the song at the end of the sermon. A song that's hopeful. We're finding ourselves, as Christine and Irv read, we've put ourselves into the story of the Old Testament people. And we're reading words that the prophet Isaiah was longing for and hoping and prophesying about this coming king, this prince of peace. And peace for us, I think sometimes as we think about peace, we think about peace would be maybe the freedom, the dictionary says, freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility. Do you know, it's like, how can I want to find that 10 minutes of just, during the day, like don't talk to me, let me find my 10 minutes of peace and quiet. And maybe some of you, it's an hour, good on you. You might not have kids. Maybe, so we long, there's that part of longing that we want this peace, this quiet, this hush. It also speaks, a dictionary would say, freedom from war or violence. This idea of a freedom from something terrible that's going to happen as we watch and see the news this week in France and other places, and we go, man, is there, what, where is the peace? What does it look like? And so there's real live people that are actually suffering in that way as well. And so when we see this as well, we also ask those same questions. Peace in the Old Testament, the most common description of it is this word shalom. This word shalom. It's a cosmic order that's ordained by God through God's good creation. If we look at the Genesis 1, God created, it was good, and there was shalom, and there was peace and harmony with one another and with creation and with God. And we have the story of Adam and Eve walking in the garden, and God would walk with them during the morning. Shalom. And then there's this establish of shalom through God's covenant with his people. And so it's in a sense this kind of a order that everything finds its place and its function in its purpose in this word shalom. One person says, Hansen would say, it's not on the screen, but shalom describes the realm where chaos is not allowed to enter. And this is the furious longing of God that it has entered, but his longing of God is that there would be a peace, a shalom, that would be lived out on earth as it is in heaven. In the New Testament, the word moves to this idea of the condition of law and order, or the absence of war, no violence, this peace, this Pax Romana that we're going to get to in a second. But it's also used also for a term of salvation that comes from God. That's a harmonious relationship between God and other people. So all that to say that you can see peace in maybe two different ways. A negative peace, which is on screen. The absence or lack of violence or threat. Or positive peace, the fullness of something rather than the lack of something. A condition that is supporting human flourishing. That kind of peace, that kind of shalom. So as we look at this, for some of us, it's going to be different things. It will be, some of us, for us, it might be us in our own selves. And what does it mean? What does it mean, peace, in the midst of my own anxiety, my own fears, my own experiences that I'm feeling? But I want us also to ground it in this longing that the Old Testament writers, what the peace that they were longing for. So we're going to look at that here. God's furious longing for peace. Scripture that we're going to look at two, but the main one will be Luke 2, 8-14. Incidentally, this will probably be the scripture for next week as well, because it's also speaking of joy. Luke 2, 8-14. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding the flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. Or maybe, "Don't be afraid." Not sure what that... "Don't be afraid!" I don't know if it was like that, because then you're like more afraid, right? "Don't be afraid." Maybe with a smile on his face. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." This coming of the Messiah is what Isaiah was longing for, is what Isaiah was prophesying. When Irv and Christine read those verses, they were waiting and longing for this Messiah to show up. We're going to jump to Isaiah 9, 6 to 8. This is Isaiah speaking. "A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. He will rule over us, and he will be called Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God. He will also be called Father who lives forever, the Prince who brings peace. There will be no limit to how great his authority is. The peace he brings will never end. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom. He will make the kingdom strong and secure. His rule will be based on what is fair and right. He will last forever. The Lord's great love will make sure that happens. He rules over all. Now, the expectations of Isaiah, the expectations of Israel during this time were for this Messiah to come. This Messiah would be a deliverer for the people, a king for Israel. And we looked at it last week a little bit more about there's this Israelites, they were under this domination for a really long time. And so they're waiting for this king to do what? To come to rule and to rule with power to what? To bring them out of oppression, out of bondage as well. They're looking for a Messiah to rule with power, to make his kingdom strong and secure, to bring peace. There's hints in the Old Testament that this Messiah is not going to look, this king is not going to look, it's going to look quite different than all the other kings. And yet what they're living in, they're probably seeing and longing for a king that would look quite differently. And you could see the history of Jerusalem in Israel, where there's these messiahs that were rising up, lots of them, just before Jesus was born, actually. They were rising up and calling bandits and calling all kinds of people together to come against the Roman rule at that time with force. So they probably still had this expectation that Messiah would bring peace through power. And we see that actually, the disciples continuing not getting it. Where they're like, yeah, but where Jesus is with a bunch of disciples and they're looking, they're like, hey, those people, like, let's just call fire down on them. And they're like, Jesus is like, whoa, what's going on? He's like, yeah, well, that's what you're supposed to do, right? That's the Messiah. This is what you're supposed to. And he's like, whoa. And then he says, not so with you. And so there's this expectation that the Messiah, the king, is going to look maybe like the other kings. But it's going to do it. They're going to bring themselves out of this oppression. So since 587 BC, Israel was living under an occupation of national superpowers that changed from Babylon to a Greek Hellenistic ruling. And then when Jesus was born, most of us know that during that time, it was during the Roman Empire. And at the time of Jesus' birth, Rome was ruling. First century Roman understanding of peace, probably even the Judean understanding of peace, was this Pax Romana, where we've talked about, I don't know if you remember the Mark series, we did delve into that quite a bit. Pax Romana, Roman peace, the peace of Rome. And I think we need to understand it in this context for us to hopefully get a bit of a, oh. The Pax Romana, this is a quote from Walter Goffett. Pax Romana is said to have been a miracle because prior to it, there had never been peace for so many centuries in a given period of history. However, Walter Goffert writes, the volume of the Cambridge Ancient History for years, AD 70 to 192, is called the Imperial Peace, but peace is not what one finds in its pages. Meaning, this peace was brought about by military force. This peace was brought about by the expense and the death of hundreds and thousands of people. This peace was heralded, which Rome would do. They would herald this peace, they would call it good news, Evangelion, evangelical. They would call it good news. Rome would either take over a new geographical area, go in there with military might, slay everyone that didn't say, okay, we'll live underneath your rule. Then they slay everything, and then they come back and they'd have heralds saying, the good news, the peace of Rome is expanding. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah. Or there'd be an uprising that happened quite often, sometimes coming out of different places, maybe like Nazareth, in Bethlehem. And there'd be an uprising of Judean soldiers and different kind of messiahs that would come against Rome. And then Rome would come against them and basically squash them. And then they'd send out good news, Evangelion. They'd send out the good news. The peace of Rome conquered. And now we have peace. That was the good news during that period. This is where the first century church took exception of that being good news. That wasn't good news. People are dying under the yoke of power. And then they subverted the word good news, euangelion, and they used that for the good news of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. They used this word, the good news, to proclaim to all people that the true peace does not come from military might. It was an announcement that Jesus Christ is Lord, not Caesar. Because there's also this understanding that Caesar's Lord. Caesar is God. Caesar is Lord. And people had to say this. And they said, no, we're not saying that. We're saying Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, this announcement of peace is what got actually many Christians during the time, got them actually killed for their faith. So this announcement, so now if we go back to Luke 2, 8 to 14, let's read this. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Peace on earth. The peace that does not come through the Roman military might. The peace that doesn't come through the sword. The peace that doesn't come through coercion. The peace that doesn't come through control and manipulation. The peace that comes through a loving Savior that comes to just a bunch of ordinaries, shepherds, outside of all the cool things that were happening in the city. Shepherds on the fringes that are going about doing their work, probably having to pay a lot of taxes to Rome. The shepherds, just ordinary people, trying to make it work in the midst of being under occupation. This is where our Christmas story is first announced to a group of people. The ordinaries, the shepherds. And it's interesting that here Luke includes, let's put the armies, let armies of God up there. So the armies of God are here calling peace, proclaiming that peace is going to look totally different than they could ever ask or imagine. And then we have the announcement of Jesus. I want to pause a little bit on this idea of don't be afraid, because I think not being afraid and understanding peace, I think we need to hear these words. The Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is announced to different players in the Christmas story. And these are some of the first words, the announcement of God, the angel of God speaks to these people. To Zechariah, he says, don't be afraid. To Mary, he says, Don't be afraid. To the shepherds, he says, don't be afraid. And to Joseph, who's ready to pack it in, he says, do not be afraid. Let's listen to those words. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. I don't know about you, but when I'm afraid, I do a couple things. Either the fight or the flight. When I'm afraid, everything kind of does this, or if the person I size it up, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting out of here, right? I'm going to lose this battle, so I'm going to run. So something inside me wells up because of the pressures that have come in my life, that peace have been taken away, and now I'm prepared to what? I'm prepared to usually blame others. I'm prepared to maybe certain times just crawl in the corner when it's dark and I don't want to come out. Maybe it's where I want to control a situation. And maybe it's actually, you guys have heard my hockey stories. Maybe it's actually wanting to hurt people. When we're afraid, peace usually isn't present. And so we need that voice in the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of the tension that we're feeling and the pressures that we are hearing. We need to hear that voice. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. With Jesus being announced, we stand present. There isn't a fight, there isn't a flight. We stand present to hear the words, do not be afraid. And we hear the words, peace. We stand to listen to these words, to let those words sink deep into our soul, our souls and our bones. And we let those words speak into the realities that we are experiencing in our own lives, in our own time, and in our own circumstances. Can we hear those words? Don't be afraid. This is good news of great joy for all people. This is good news of great joy for all people. I don't want to get too joyful because that's next week. But this is good news because this peace comes not to take away but to bring in. This peace doesn't come to take life but to give life. This peace isn't just the absence of violence. This peace is a shalom that God is coming to bring human flourishing to humanity, to all of us. The Prince of Peace does not come into this world overbearing, pushing and shoving his way to the top or even into our lives that way. The Prince of Peace comes into the world subversively and from the bottom, living among the ones who are inhabited by a ruling superpowers to announce a new and different way to live. This Prince of Peace comes to earth for all humanity. But we also each know that we, every single one of us, is individuals within that humanity. And it's our choices that help bring this chaos that's happening in the world. And it's all also to bring about peace or shalom into this world as well. Would we allow this Prince of Peace, this baby, to be birthed in ourselves, in our own lives, that there be hope and peace and joy and love in us first? Would we allow that to happen? in the midst of our own trouble, in the midst of our own anxiety, in our lives first. I came across, as I'm reading this devotional called God With Us, it's a great Advent devotional. Richard Newhouse says this: to be anxious is to be human. The question is, what do we do with our anxieties? The decision is between hanging on to them or handing them over. And then I say, yeah, Richard, that's easy to write. But that's partly what we're called to do as Jesus followers. I want us to walk through a prayer that I've adapted for us today. Just so you know, this prayer is actually quite individual. In the end, it moves to more of a community. We could do a 10-part series on peace. And that's maybe going to come because we're a peace church. Check it out. Anyway, we're a peace church. What does that mean? We'll find out soon. But I would like to pray this prayer for us. And it'll be on the screen as I read. So you can either read along. It doesn't have to be audibly. So you can read along. Or you can just close your eyes and listen as I pray. A prayer for peace. O Lord, sometimes my insides feel like a battle. Other times I'm caught in an endless storm with thoughts flying out of control. Confusion reigns and defeat creeps in to steal my joy. I need your peace, the deep down in your heart kind that stays with me day and night and speaks confidently into my chaos. Calm my anxious spirit, Lord. All the attacking of if-onlys and what-ifs fill me with needless worry. I know that trust is a big part of experiencing peace, and allow me to hear your words. Do not be afraid. Most of the things I worry about or dread don't even happen. I'm declaring my trust in you. I'm releasing the reins of my life again and asking you to take control. I may need to pray the same prayer daily, but I'm tired of the frenzy of life that leaves my schedule and my thoughts without any margin. I need more of your peace in my life. I surrender and admit and can't control people, plans, or even all my circumstances, but I can yield those things to you and focus on your goodness. I know that when I pray and give thanks instead of worrying, you have promised that I can experience the kind of peace that passes all understanding. That's your kind of peace, Lord, and it's the kind that I crave. Remind me that I'm not alone. Your name is Emmanuel, God with us. Remind me of the us, that there are people in this church and in my life that are walking with me, praying for me, encouraging me, and are willing to simply be present as we work for peace together. Lord, be my peace. Lord, be our peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace. Amen. I found that prayer helpful this week. And I don't see myself, you've known me for a few years, I don't see myself as to tell you what to do, but to help guide and see what God might want to do in you and through us as a church as a whole. I pray that in the midst of whatever anxiety you might be feeling, that there would be a peace that would be resonating in you. And that peace would be Jesus Christ himself. We follow the Prince of Peace. We act not only for the absence of violence, but for human flourishing of ourselves, of our families, and the communities that we live in. we are able to bring this peace that Jesus has given us as a gift into the workplace, into our families, and into our communities that we're a part of. It's not just the lack of violence. It's not just the lack of tranquility in our own hearts. But there's this positive peace, this shalom of God that is wanting to fill our lives full to something that's not lacking, but something that's beautiful. Now, we're going to continue to lack things in our lives. And if I just riff here on the idea of God with us, God is with us through his Holy Spirit that he's given to the church to live as the hands and feet of himself in this world. So I want to encourage each of you. I want to finish a sermon that I actually gave on Easter. Now, you're like, what? What are you talking about? Let me finish a sermon that I gave on Easter. You might not remember it. I look back and I go, oh, man, what? I talked about a time where I was in a dark place, where there was anxiety, and then I realized I didn't tell the rest of the story. I didn't actually tell the rest of the story that in the midst of that place where I was a few years ago, where I was at a larger church with a big youth group, and I kind of, anxiety overtook me. And so there was no peace in my heart. And I realized I didn't tell the rest of the story. The rest of the story was, yeah, I got through that. But how did I get through it? I got through that by a community of people that came around me, that prayed for me, that said words that it's going to be okay, that said words, do not be afraid. A community of people that came around me that said, we'll walk with you during this time. A community of people that said, we have your back. A community of people said that, you know what? We're going to help you rise up and resurrect in this way. And I can't tell you enough how beautiful it is to have a group of people that are Jesus-centered, a Jesus-centered community, that would show those kind of acts of love in the midst of maybe a dark time in my own life. So would you allow and understand that God is with us? He's with us. Would we allow, I would love our community to continue to thrive and grow in the midst of that. Would you allow yourself to be known by someone, maybe here, or maybe outside this community, that maybe you know someone that is a good friend, has walked with Jesus follower, has walked with you? Don't be isolated in the midst of that, because this is good news for all people. This peace, this joy, that Christ is giving us. We follow this Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, that this is what it looks like in Colossians 1, 19 to 21. God in all his fullness. God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. I think it's on the slide somewhere. God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is Lord. And he's a Prince of Peace. And he comes and rules in a way that is tender, a way that's actually going to, tender, but it's going to speak to your heart. A way that's saying, don't be afraid. A way that's saying, I want to come and bring peace, not only just into your heart and in your soul, but into a community that will live peaceably, that will bring shalom and human flourishing to all. We have opportunities to be a part of this. During Christmas, this is the great time to jump in on opportunities for shalom, for this peace, this human flourishing. On our website, there's a great it'll explain how to get involved with the Christmas Hamper program, the Cloverdale Christmas Hamper. I just met with the ministerial this last week. A whole bunch of different churches are involved in helping. You can go and you can help them organize. They're renting the Agriplex. Actually, the Agriplex, they're giving it to them for a week. There's over 400 families that are going to give hampers to. So we can do that way. You can bring goods to there. We have our community care fund where we've been telling stories about how God has been using this monthly giving for people in real, tangible ways. Through many of you, and you've been able to be generous to your friends because of this community that's doing that and working towards shalom. So continue to look for those opportunities, not just to take in the peace for your own self and tranquility, but for the fact that this Prince of Peace is working for shalom in that way. So let me pray, and I want to. I think we have time. We're gonna. I'm gonna pray, and then there's gonna be a song on screen, by Casting Crowns, and then Audrey's gonna end with a song. But the song on screen will kind of talks about this tension that we have, but it has this hopeful. Kind of words at the end that are saying, as a community, we sing these songs. We sing the songs that God has embedded in us, this song of peace and this news of good news, this announcement of good news. So let's pray. Dear God, as we journey down this Advent road, grant us the courage to make peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our homes, peace in our communities, and realizing this is all a gift from you. Amen.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing like a choir. Despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells they're ringing like a choir they're singing. And with our hearts we'll hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Do you hear the bells they're ringing? Like the angels singing. Open up your heart and hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth. Peace on earth.